Okay, if you can kneel, please do so. We're going to start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for helping us figure out this issue this morning. And please let it be that it brings a little bit more stability into the room. And thank you also, Father God, for forgiving us, cleansing us, and blessing us day by day. We know the enemy is attacking, and we're okay with it. You know, if you're allowing it, we need to grow there. So we thank you for that. Thank you for giving us peace in our hearts and no despair anywhere, and for blessing everybody on our prayer list, especially those that were mentioned in the text chat here, as well as in the children's study. And thank you for blessing us with that as well. We were able to do that. And please bless everybody that's in attendance here on the stream. I didn't do the phone yet, so I'm a little behind there. And just everybody all together on the stream, the radio, the phone. Well, not the phone, but the chat room here. And thank you again for hearing our prayers in the name of your Son, our Savior and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay, now it looks like the stream is losing connection here, so let me just... Oh, there it goes. Let me see if I can see a change. Study and sermon. Let's see if the tabernacle shows up in the stream there. Okay, good. All right, the only thing I didn't connect so far is the phone. I did put the Wi-Fi... Nope. Yeah, it is. Okay, give me a second. I did warn Brother Dwayne via my wife that I was going to be late, but I figured rather than you guys just sit there listen to music, I'll get down here, you know, gab a little bit. Let's see. Speed dial, it's not going to be in there anymore because Verizon doesn't know what it's doing. They keep losing all my speed dials. Okay, so church. I'm looking for church 2. There it is. And call it. Okay, there we go. Now we got to put in the code that everybody uses to get in the teleconference. Wait for it to do it. Okay, now... All right, okay, so, Fran, you want to grab the phone? Let me just see, I'll put the volume way down. That way, I got the volume all the way down, that way I got to listen to that goofy elevator music. Oh, man, don't tell me the internet. It's probably, give me a second here, because it's probably going to lose. Connected, no internet again. Yeah. It's, and I'm not going to go through all that right now because I'm just going to shut it off. We're not going to do the phone this week. All right, thanks, Fran. Yeah, because it's... I think Verizon is trying to get me to buy another phone. After about 3 years owning a phone, 2-3 years owning a phone, they start messing up. And then you can't use them anymore. Put that over here. All right, let me get my notes. Could you email that to me, Alex? Thanks. All right. Let's see. Where's my notes? 9 minutes. We're going to be shaky here for 9 minutes. Well, I will be, but I don't know how bad it's going to be on your end. It's doing a backup because even that messed up last night in the middle of the night, so I was snoring. I didn't care. Okay. And get my headphones on. That way I know where to sit with this mic. Sometimes I start swallowing it and it gets bad. All right. Still in the sanctuary study. Praise God. This is going to go for a while. And now I knew this. I mean, you know, because as close as we are to the end, it's pretty obvious in the scriptures that the remnant of her seed, the people that are obedient, the ones that are going to be used of the Lord, in other words, anybody that's in any kind of a denominational kind of like, anybody that's in a 501c3 church is not going to be used by the Lord in the loud cry. And the overwhelming odds are they're not even going to be ready when the plagues begin, which means they're all going to lose what little oil they have in their lamps. And then they'll be forever lost. And so if you're in a 501c3 church, you know, it can only warn you so many times. You got to get out. And that includes the Seventh-day Adventist Church. All of them are 501c3, as are many, if not most, of the separated ministries out there. They use 501c4, 1, or 2 as well, which is the same thing. It's still incorporated. They just don't have tax deductions and stuff. But it's still joining your church with the state. And get out of them churches, because you're not going to be ready. So anyway, touching a little bit more this week on the light that comes from the candlestick in the holy place, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, okay, 5, 6, yeah, so this is the start of the sermon. Wait, I got a screen thing going on now. Hold on. There we go. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16, he says, make sure everybody's on. Okay. He said, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And then verse 15 says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. And verse 16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. But all the churches, including the Ninth Hour Church, which is the Seventh-day Adventist Church, they are mentioned in prophecy. It's in Matthew chapter 20, as well as Revelation 12. They're the woman, and then the remnant of her seed are the obedient ones that follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth, and that's us. Because we're the ones doing the work. They're not. Now, they may look like they're doing the work, but that's just part of the deception. You know, and we can prove it, but not right now. we're going to continue with this study, but all the churches, including the SDA Church, have joined hands with each other in the final movement of the Roman Catholic Church so as to ready the world for the enforcement of the mark. They say unto the true remnant people that seek to warn them of their sin, no, shut up, hug each other, and sing kumbaya so as to promote the long prophesied peace and safety mindset. While hundreds of thousands die violent deaths for refusing to denounce Christ at the hands of the Vatican-controlled Muslims, and literally billions follow their lead onto the wide path towards destruction, thinking all they do is pleasing the God to the God of heaven, when in fact it is not, because they're nothing more than fake Christians. And so as Aaron's sons, who died when they brought strange fire onto the temple, they too, these Christians of today that claim that they believe they're believers, they too are going to burn when the wrath of God falls upon them at his second coming. And then they awaken later to be sentenced to eternal death by fire at the end of the 1,000 years. So there's their fire, whereas Aaron's sons got it rather quickly. But they're going to get it again, obviously, at the end. And so, brothers and sisters, one of the fruits that Jesus said his people will have that identifies them is how they bear the light of truth upon the world all around them, regardless of how those in their families or classrooms and places of employment feel about it, or even in their church. This is why, you know, the overwhelming majority of the people in the Seventh-day Remnant Church were disfellowshipped or kicked to the curb by the Seventh-day Adventist Church for trying to warn them of the dangers that they're in, and the apostasy that they're in and doing. And no, I'm not saying preach at work, because I mentioned places of employment, because you got a job to do there. But you have to know that just being a Christian angers some people, even if you never say a word to them. Like when you smile and they expect a frown, that's going to upset them, because you have strength and they don't, and they know they need it. Jesus said at the start of the Sermon on the Mount, and now we're in Matthew 5, verses 39 to 41, he said, but I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other cheek also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak as well, or also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with them twain. But how many know now, if you use the SDA name, you'll be thrown in a courtroom and then eventually in jail, like the guy in Texas. They'll sue you, regardless of what Jesus said here. And they do that in front of the brethren, which shows Vatican fruit. They hate Christianity that much. The Jesuits hate it that much. They're going to make it look bad as best they can, because the SCA Church was the true church in the ninth hour. It exposed them in a major way, and to this day we're using some of the work that the pioneers did so as to go out and proclaim it. But we're also blessed with the sermons and utterance and understanding of that which is prophesied to happen in our day. Whereas the 501c3s, no, they got to kind of like ride our coattails and see what we put out there and then echo it. You know, going the extra mile for someone, be they a family member, a complete stranger, or even an angry person who has just struck you upside the head, it shows you have a willingness of heart to be that light shining in a dark place for those the Lord sends your way. And yes, some he sends are not going to be very friendly, you know, because they need to hear it just as much as anybody else. So continuing in his sermon, Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 44 and 48, or 44 to 48, rather, he says, "But I say," and thanks again, Brother Sean and Dwayne and all you guys, Warren, all you guys that are helping out with the work here online and keeping this all stable. So it says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Verse 45 says, "That ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven." In other words, that's how he is. That's how Jesus is. That's how the Holy Spirit moves you. He's not a violent God. No, he's not a hateful God. And especially towards his own children, you know. But his wrath, his strange act, as it's stated in Scripture, is going to have to come down. Because his mercy is at the same exact level as his wrath, if you look at the way. And we discussed this months ago in the sanctuary study where we got the altar of burnt offering. It's the exact same height as the mercy seat. So there's no gray areas here. You're either a Christian or you're not. No gray areas. You can't ride the fence in Christianity and expect to get home to heaven. It's just not there. So going on, it says, "For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain upon the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect." Our calling and our election is obvious in these last days especially. But seriously, how many of us actually do something about it? Some of you ain't going to like to hear what I'm about to say, but some of you will, because you're doing the work. When our Lord looks at us, does he see in us a desire to spread the truth? Or does he see in us a people that only acts like they want to spread the truth? I mean, look around, and you will see this is how the churches of the world play church, churchianity. Jesus knows his children. He knows who he can trust. And when the lettering falls, some of us in the church are going to have no clue that it's even drizzling, let alone downpouring, because it falls more abundantly than the former rain did on Pentecost. Of such as these poor souls, Jesus said in Mark 7, verse 6, he answered and said unto them, "Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, the people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." You know, just claiming you're a Christian in today's world won't cut it. Soon, the demons running the churches will have their final act to do, as they did in the Dark Ages when over 500 million Christians were killed at the hands of the Roman Catholic priests. And that's a real number. Look it up in the Fox's Book of Martyrs. Today, all the churches, including the Seventh-day Adventist Church, are now Roman Catholic to the core. And for those that think, and for those SDAs that think I'm lying about this, see my recent video wherein I share how your church leaders literally changed your statement of faith. Well, actually, it's two videos ago. They changed your statement of faith to honor the doctrines of Roman Catholicism. Actually, I did a bunch of videos in regards to how they were doing that, as well as statements from your own church president saying that you are now, the Seventh-day Adventist Church is now considered a Roman Catholic church. And they said that in a courtroom. And since they, like every other so-called Protestant church, has a 501c3 contract with the second beast of Revelation, and that's the USA. And or other countries, they have these different ways of numbering them or calling them. So soon, all of them, all these churches, including the SDA church, all of them are going to have to emulate the Vatican prelates that were moved by Satan to enforce religious laws and kill anyone that refuses their long prophesied unjust laws. Fran mentioned something to me the other day in regards to a video that she saw where there's a bunch of people protesting, say, kill the babies, kill the babies, kill the babies. The mindset's already there. It's already out there, people. It's already out there. I mean, they're pushing infanticide now. They're devil worshippers. I mean, look at the aerial pictures of Washington, D.C. with the pentagrams leading to the back door to the White House. They're devil worshippers. And so, just like Rome, I got videos proving the Vatican worships Satan. They even make buildings to honor his serpent head. And it's really gruesome, some of these things that they got in the Vatican that shows Satanism hardcore. They actually got caught holding a satanic mass in by one of their bishops who released it on the Fatima 2000 Congress. And so, with the people out there yelling, kill the babies, kill the babies, kill the babies, because all, Trump and everybody else is out there, you know, removing the ability for women to have a choice, what they do with their own bodies. Well, wait a second, that's not your body. It's a baby. That's another person's body. But they don't look at it that way because Satan needs the blood sacrifice. Right before Moses came to do what he was, like before he was born, Pharaoh tried to kill all the boys. Right before Jesus came as Messiah, well, as he was born, and of course going to be Messiah, Herod tried to kill all the boys. Now, Satan's just doing it as a blood sacrifice, killing all the kids, all of them, boys or girls. So, the mindset's already out there. So think about it. Instead of saying, kill the babies, kill the babies, kill the babies, they're going to say, kill the Christians, because we're not going to bow to this falderal that they call, you know, the Vatican Sabbath to stop the climate change disasters. That's what it's all leading to. That's why the mindset's there. That's why you got the violent video games. That's why you got the violent sports, the violent music, and the violent movies. Everybody's being, you know, set up to be their, you know, troops for Satan. He's got to fill up his cores. So will your light shine then when they start yelling this at you, the persecution? I mean, unless you stay in your Bibles and pray daily, it's not going to be there. Your faith ain't going to be there. And so all of us are being tested right now. Do you share your faith now when it is comparatively legal and peaceful to do? It was a lot more peaceful 30 years ago, I remember, on the street. I didn't get a lot of people spitting at me back then. But now, you know, if not, like it, since it's legal and peaceful kind of to do so now, if not, you're not going to receive the latter rain if you're not out there doing it now. Because if you cannot do the work now, you will most assuredly be too fearful to do it then, when persecution means you can die. And so the rain's going to fall on those that have the fruit. In fact, I challenge everyone in the Seventh-day Remnant Church this Sabbath to seek one soul this week, just one. Hand them a tract. Discuss the truth. Invite them to church with us. A lot of people say, oh, that's silly meeting online. Well, we were the first to ever do it on the Internet. And now it's getting popular. Have you seen the articles I put on the site recently about some churches are actually doing this now online? It works really good for shut-ins, old folks, and people that can't get out of the house with sickness or whatever. So invite them. Invite them to church with us. If all of us did this for just one soul a week, we would not only grow exponentially in a short time, the Lord will look upon us with a smile knowing that he's not wasting the oil he's placing in our temple lamps. James chapter 2, verses 17 and 18 says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yeah, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. You know, in today's world, many people call themselves Christians, yet it's like pulling teeth to get them to lift a finger to help someone in need, be it a physical or spiritual need. We all have a duty. And in that duty, the basic reality is what we do will dictate unto the Lord as to the work we have chosen to do for him, or he has chosen us to do for him. That's one of the beauties of it. We choose, he chooses. Romans 6:16 is clear when it says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? okay, screen thing again. His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether or of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. My cat just sneezed. That's what you heard in the background there. So there is only one way to stand as a Christian, and that is to emulate the Christian, Jesus Christ, the Lord, that we claim to be our King. When speaking of our King, John chapter 1, verses 10 through 12 says that he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. This power is the promised birthright of every person that has been born again. This is why we see no infants walking up to the laver to be baptized in the sanctuary service. Nor can an infant walk into the eastern gate on his own. Only an adult can be granted this promised birthright so as to be used of God as a light unto the people. And so that's why Acts chapter 8, verse 37 is removed from just about every Bible out there except the King James. And why? Well, it's because Philip told the eunuch, if you want to get baptized, you have to profess Jesus Christ as Lord. And then he did. An infant can't do that. So get that verse out of there. And so, yes, the Lord will move his truth to come forth out of the mouths of babes as he did in Sweden in the mid-1800s, but that's only because the adults were too fearful and useless in his hands. You know, during the 1800s, when the great disappointment was about to happen, you know, when the 2300-year prophecy of Daniel was about to end, the investigative judgment was about to start, the Lord had, it wasn't just the Millerites doing it here in the States. They were doing it all over the planet because God was moving. Just like with us. There's a home church moving around the planet we never knew about until a few years ago that we have already been doing for decades, online and offline. And so when the Lord moved the people in Sweden to do it, there was a law that says you couldn't preach against the state church. So all the adults were, today's language, wimping out. So the Lord had to come out of the mouths of babes, just as prophesied. Children did it, and there was no law to stop the children. You know, we are fearfully, all of us, fearfully and wonderfully made by an awesome God. And just as he didn't skimp when he formed us in the womb, why would anyone think he would skimp when he forms us at our second birth? I mean, we are to be the masterpiece of our God, are we not? We are his building that he resides in. We are his temple. We are his building that is made without human hands. Do you not see him as a busy creator? I mean, look up at night. He never stops working. I mean, does this suggest that the Holy Spirit is okay with sitting in a lukewarm heart, twiddling his thumbs, waiting on us to move to action? You know, I mean, do you not recall what he said to the Laodicean church 2,000 years ago as a prophetic warning unto those that stand in these apostate churches in our day? You know, the seven churches, four movements thing that we find ourselves in the 11th hour. He said in Revelation 3:16, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And he's talking to believers. And so again, let us keep our lamps well trimmed and lifted high in a candlestick and not under a bushel so as to do as prophecy said the bride of Christ would do today. And don't agree with me by nodding your head as these words reach your ears. Go forth even today. Seek that soul that needs Christ and hand them that tract. Be that light. Be that candlestick. Or if they are interested right off, give them a booklet and invite them to worship with us online or even in your home. If you feel okay with that, because there is, you know, you got to meet them a few times outside the home, make sure everything's okay. See, that's one of the beauties of the home church. It's not easy to infiltrate. That's what's really ticking the Jesuits off. And remember that even if they walk away in a huff when you hand them a tract or try to share with them, Christ is risen and Christ will come again, no matter how much the scoffer will declare otherwise. And so go to the next soul. Most of you here know what I'm talking about, but some of you don't. I mean, after all, they laughed at Noah, did they not? Did that stop the rain then? No. Every single drop found its mark, just as every single drop will find its mark today when the prophesied latter rain falls. Revelation 4, verse 5 also says, out of the throne proceedeth lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. This is a heavenly announcement of sorts. Just as the gospel is called good news, the all-encapsulating truth of His Word, cover to cover, can be seen as a heaven-sent newscast to every soul on earth through time. This is why we see the seven spirits mentioned, wherein we all know, as prophetic utterance, that there are seven churches wherein four movements of the church have been recorded through the ages to confirm the prophecy rock solid to our day, which is the 11th hour, and there is no 12th hour. You had the early in the morning of the nation of Israel, who went forth for a while to proclaim truth, but then messed up. Then the third hour of the Christian church in the book of Acts. And by the way, they all met in their homes, just like they will in the end. We're already meeting in our homes now, been doing it for decades. And when they messed up, the sixth hour was the Reformation of Luther. They did the same thing when Rome trampled the word underfoot. And then the ninth hour message had to go forth because the Lutherans and anybody that was involved with that Protestant movement, they got all messed up and infiltrated and corrupted by Rome. And so the ninth hour message of the Seventh-day Adventist Church proclaimed present truth like never before. They even presented the law of God, the final message, the way to receive His seal and avoid Rome's mark. I mean, they had it all. Capernaum. And they messed up. And so now you have the 11th hour, the final prophesied movement of the remnant of her seed. And yeah, that's why they call themselves the remnant. They're trying to confuse the people. They're not the remnant. They're the ninth hour. You can't be the ninth and 11th hour at the same time. They're lying. Period. That's all they're doing is lying. I've got videos and studies online to prove it. They can't possibly be the remnant church. I mean, there are the millions, too. We are now doing what the Seventh-day Adventist Church stopped doing, just as prophecy predicted. We're holding up that candlestick. And so again, the seven branches on the candlestick are once again seen as a fitting symbol onto the truth of His Word, and even His will for His obedient people far and wide. And like our Heavenly Father, who is always at work providing for His people, the people in the 11th hour will be known globally as an active working church. Hence the reason for Sunday laws, to try to shut us up. And those that refuse to heed this warning and go forth in obedience to their God-given duty, as we have seen for years now, they will eventually leave the church. Out of guilt and complacency with the world. They'll come up with some excuse. Satan will figure it out. He knows where their toes, you know, as long as he gets a toe, if he gets a toehold, he's got a leg. So as prophesied, this movement we find ourselves in is not that, you know, declares the pastors, the deacons, and the legion of the church are the only ones worthy to do the work. As also prophesied, we have no pope. We have no conference president. Because as we see, allowing for such hierarchies only leads to worldliness. That's what upset the Father or our Lord thousands of years ago when Samuel had to present the idea from the people that they wanted a king. But we're back to where we started. We have a king now, King Jesus. Jesus Christ is the head of the truth and the head of the church and the true remnant people. And we will follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. They kicked him out of the SDA church in 1888, so you're not going to find a real Christian in there. And those that are real that are in there, they're coming out. As soon as they find out the truth, I praise God for the phone calls lately this week. A lot of people don't know. The warnings have been removed from the Spirit of Prophecy books. They don't even know it. The light from the candlestick burns 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and it burns bright because like our God who never stops spreading His love, His people are all over the world in every nation now. We can work 24/7 now. At every moment He can find an obedient child of His who is letting their light shine. While we sleep here in the States, someone in Australia is spreading the word. And when those in China sleep, we in the USA are busy. When people in Africa are resting on their beds at night, people in Russia are doing God's work, and so on and so forth. And the angels never sleep as they minister unto those that obey the very God they love. And so it's fitting that the candlestick it's kept lit all day and all night. It keeps getting trimmed every morning and evening, as we discussed earlier in regards to how you got to pray morning and evening, as well as the midday prayer. You know, for those of you that know what I'm saying is true and you are actively doing the work, I say press on, brothers and sisters. Keep going. Walk in the light. Be those fishers of men that bring them in. But for those that are upset at what I just shared, hear this. If you think heaven is a place wherein you can kick back on a cloud strumming a harp while eating bonbons all day, think again. If our God and his angels are so busy seeking out souls for salvation right now, why would any of us think they will not be busy when we get home? Have you seen how many galaxies are out there? Seriously, just to look at the postage stamp size that we got above our heads. And I say postage stamp size because that's about the size of it in just a little tiny little dinky spot in the seventh spiral of the Milky Way galaxy. And that's one of trillions of galaxies that we can see. We're going to have a blast for all eternity spreading God's love. You got to get to a point. Pray. If you ain't got to the point where you like to share your faith or you want to help others and find the truth in any way that you see fit, if you can't do it by the tongue, do it by the hand. You know the tract, the book, whatever. You'll learn to love it. You'll get up in the morning thinking, what can I do today for the Lord? You know, as the urge by the Lord to change our diets to an Edenic diet proves we are citizens of heaven even now, so is the busy activity of his people a sign that we are walking in the same light we hope to have shine unto others for all of eternity as ambassadors for Christ in the universe. You know, in other words, all of us, myself included, are right now in an eternal job interview. Will you be hired? Or will you be fired? That, my brothers and sisters, in the Lord, is up to all of us. And remember this, when we fail to do the work, when it's legal and still peaceful to do, we will have to do it when the persecution is off the chart. You remember, go back 2,000 years, remember what went down when the apostles were going around sharing the truth? The leaders of the church were doing all the work. Yeah, once in a while some people would pop up, you know, like John Mark and all those guys, and they would just come up, and Silas and Barnabas. And some guys would start hitting it heavy, doing the work. But the majority of the Christians were just sharing their faith with their friends, families, and neighbors. So what did the Lord do? He sent persecution. He allowed it to come to scatter them so as to get the message to go out further. They were just sitting on their hands in their homes. We can gather many more souls right now while it's still peaceful and legal to do so for who knows how long. And so common sense dictates we do the most we can right now. So by the time it's illegal to do it, we'll already have a system on how we do it. Because he's going to direct that too, you know. He's going to get it to where we're going to continue. Kick us offline. Yeah, we've already started printing books. So we're already set up for that. So that way, when it's illegal to do the work, at least we'll have that many more of us to do it for the Lord when it's illegal. I mean, even a squirrel knows when it's best to gather before the dead of winter arrives. Hope and pray you were blessed. We'll be back in a minute.